The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Doug Bell, who's the CMO of Chief Outsiders. Doug is a veteran CMO with a background in helping growth stage B2B SaaS companies reach their true potential, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the microphone and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. Okay, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders.
Hello, marketers. My name is Doug Bell from Chief Outsiders, and today we're going to be talking about the evolution of CRMs. Joining me today is Chip House, who's the Chief Marketing Officer at Insightly, which is a modern, affordable CRM that teams love. Trusted by more than a million users worldwide, Insightly solves common pain points that legacy CRMs can't. And today, Chip and I are going to be talking about what modern CRM looks like. Okay, here's my conversation with Chip House, the Chief Marketing Officer at Insightly. Chip, welcome back to the podcast.
It's good to be here, Doug. Thank you for having me back.
We've had you on before. Chip is a great guest. I'm not trying to set expectations so high for you, Chip. So if you are a mess on today's podcast, that's my bad.
It's all good.
But Chip, part of the reason I was really interested in having you come on the MarTech Pod was that Insightly is out there fighting the good fight into the CRM industry. And I especially love today's topic, which is really, what does modern CRM look like? And we'll talk about this, but I do feel like there's some atrophication that's happening out there. And there's some exciting players on the horizon that I think will help us sort of break that logjam that's been reducing the number of options for marketers and sellers out there. So let's start there, Chip. How has CRM evolved in recent years? How has the landscape changed?
CRM is a crazy market, Doug, and there's data out there that says there's more than 1,700 CRM providers out there. And of course, a lot of those are niche and like industry providers and low-end to high-end providers. But we try to think about modern CRM as the juxtaposition to what a lot of people do automatically because they think they have to. We heard the old adage, nobody was ever fired for buying IBM. And now a lot of people think the same about Salesforce, right? Nobody was ever fired for buying Salesforce. And the data that we have on, like from Sixth Sense, which we leverage to find out who's in market for CRM, it's almost a one-to-one overlap match with those businesses that are looking for Salesforce. Everybody that's looking for a CRM has heard of Salesforce because of their huge brand impact, and they've been at this for 25 years. But businesses really often overspend on a CRM that doesn't fit their needs. And we've learned this through our research. So where teams really love Insightly because it's a modern CRM, because it's easy to use, simple to customize, and it scales with you as you grow. So one of the things we learned from our research is there's kind of two ends of the market. And the legacy CRM side, which Salesforce occupies, certainly Oracle, probably Dynamics, SAP, et cetera. A high total cost of ownership. These businesses report that they're frustrated at the fact that they have to hire admin support, potentially bring in Deloitte to help them implement it or integrate their software. And often, because I know Doug, maybe in our discussion before, I came up through ExactTarget and we were acquired by Salesforce and we had an entirely different database. Salesforce has scaled, for example, through acquisition. So it's a number of different databases where Insightly was built around the same data model across sales, marketing, and service. So it's much easier. It's a much lighter, easier to use system that has a single view of the customer. That's one of the elements that we consider as part of a modern CRM is just the ability to have a single data model and single view of the customer.
These cycles are so interesting. We can go way, way back and talk about who Salesforce displaced. I don't think the history lesson is as important, but in many ways, they represented a completely different value prop. It was a much less expensive solution to deploy. People could have it up and running in a weekend. But at the same time, here we are, gosh, what is that, 20 years later, and they're held captive by their architecture and their strategy, which is, at the end of the day, Salesforce is this gigantic platform that has either through acquisition and in some cases development sort of become this behemoth, if you will. It's a little bit to me like Microsoft when it's millions and millions of lines of code and how they're sort of a slave to the legacy of what made them so wonderful a really long time ago. And you've seen others trying to break out of that model. I'm going to bring up a competitor of yours, which is HubSpot, which is my impression from the outside looking in is they've developed it for the SMB and they're saying, how do we make this just easier to use, easier system to deploy? I think that's ultimately what we're talking about is what is modern equal? And you talked about Insightly being in a spot where we don't want to have to spend a lot of time implementing the solution. We don't want to have to deploy a lot of expertise to maintain the solution. So if you can, just sort of unpack those elements in terms of how you see a modern CRM being deployed and developed.
Again, this comes from our research. So there's organizations say that they want a system that's easy to use and onboard to that their organization actually adopts. You've heard about the CRM failures and like the range, it's ranged from like 18% to like 70% of CRM installations fail, depending on which data you look at. But ease of use and adoption is really, really important. The second is customization, which you don't see as much of on the small, on the low end of the market, like with say Zoho or some of the more verticalized solutions, right? They tend to be more of a templated approach, which is why I think a lot of companies think, wow, I need to go get a legacy enterprise grade CRM for my business because I'm planning to scale, especially if you're in a startup and you're thinking, well, I'm going to need it eventually, so I might as well pay six figures now for it, which doesn't make good fiscal sense. So the customization and ability to customize it to your unique business is really, really important so that it scales with you as your organization grows. So can you build custom fields, custom workflows? Can you have all areas of your company engage with it across sales, marketing, service, production even? We lean into project management use cases with our system where, for example, in the solar space, we'll have some of our customers sell to an end user who's going to install solar on their home. And it was a sales opportunity. And then those convert that to a project management opportunity and then install the solar on the house. And the crews are accessing the CRM via the mobile device, which I would also check the box as that's another important element of a modern CRM. It has to be mobily accessible for all of the people in your company. And that is highly different than something where you're relying on people to make it go and having to hire experts to integrate it, et cetera, which is typical for an enterprise offering. Integrations are obviously really, really important for a modern CRM. And we leverage our Apt Connect product, which is a no-code, low-code, drag-and-drop integration engine, much like Zapier, but it's more native to our platform. So it allows you to do integrations without spending a lot of money and wasting a lot of time.
I'm hearing a number of elements that we would lump into this idea of modern. Mobile's important, I agree. I feel like that configurability that you're mentioning is sort of no-code configurability, but also the ability to work really well with other systems. Let me throw a couple other things out here and get your reaction as well. The first is orchestration. And classically, there are organizations like, I'm going to say Chili Piper and Lean Data, in other words, that provide that orchestration layer that otherwise you're deploying Apex code. That's one. And by the way, whole industries have grown up around Salesforce and CRM. Like this podcast doesn't exist without Salesforce creating a platform that all their companies needed to sort of fill in the gaps for. And the other piece is that data analytics piece. So talk to me about the orchestration layer. Do you feel like that belongs in CRM? Is that a part of the modern CRM? Do you feel like that still needs to exist outside of CRM?
I think there's levels of orchestration and automation in a proper installation of a CRM, whether it's auto-assigning leads from a form or building custom workflows that help you assign to different people in the organization. I think that that's, I would call that orchestration layer. And certainly if you bring in like our marketing automation app, your level of orchestration goes up. But in terms of like sales engagement, it's hard to know where to draw the line there. I think as the SaaS industry has grown, everybody's moving into everybody else's territory. But we focused on integrations because we integrate tightly with QuickBooks, with PandaDoc, with SalesLoft, where a lot of our engagement for a sales team happens inside of SalesLoft. And so we've kind of taken a partner approach for a lot of that work, in addition to being able to harness our own tools.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview.
I think I'm going to have a similar conversation with around analytics. And let me just unpack this a bit for us. But again, whole industries have grown up around the fact that CRM usually sucks at analytics. So if we're doing well with analytics, it is how do we export meaningful data into other solutions that'll help us better understand performance? Same thing, Chip, would you say that's something that should exist outside of CRM, really good analytics?
I was a Salesforce user for like 20 years myself, right? So I ran a lot of reports. And I was also at a few other marketing automation providers. So honestly, Insightly has some of the best dashboarding technology that I've seen, frankly, like kind of built into the platform. Maybe not quite to the Looker level or something like that, but it's pretty impressive what you can do. And I'm in our dashboards every day and updating them myself and automating reports and things like that, because it's just so easy to do and so easy to drive the drill down. So that's actually a layer that's pretty built out in Insightly.
Do you expect it to become more robust over time? And let me give you an example to sort of help make this a little bit easier. The use case I run into most often is the following, which is, how do I track the buyer's journey and where should I be tracking that? That feels like way too much for CRM. It's too much of an ask to track the buyer's journey for CRM, but I'll throw it out to you, Chip.
Yeah, it's interesting because we do a pipeline review of our largest deals with our CEO every 2 weeks, the head of sales and myself. And one of the things that we do as part of that is to look, what campaign did this deal come from? What pieces of marketing literature did they touch? You know, it might be emails, it might be self-reported data, like I heard about you on the web, and then they came in and then they engaged with a number of emails. So I don't personally get that hung up about the end attribution of it, but I think that being able to see marketing being sent and the website being engaged with, I think is important part of the journey. And so I think a lot of that should be in your CRM.
You mentioned it, Chip. You connected the two really quickly, which is the buyer's journey ultimately helps you understand attribution outside of or inside the modern CRM platform.
We might not see eye to eye in this, Doug, because especially in this day of dark social, so much of the buyer's journey in B2B just happens beyond our view. Actually, I just spent some time today going through our how did you hear about us field and kind of looking at that data for the last couple of months. And one interesting thing, by the way, is AI recommendations is starting to pop up more and more. You're seeing like people saying, hey, I heard about you from ChatGPT, which is fascinating to me because it's not like I'm doing anything different to try to drive that. You know, of course, we have ad tracking and the ability to figure out, did it come from G2? Did it come from Google? Did it come from a Forbes article we wrote? All of that's really important when it aligns with spend, but first touch, last touch, neither method is flawless. And often somebody who reads about you in Forbes is going to come in and look like organic traffic anyway. So
you're speaking to the dark funnel, which is getting less and less dark over time. And then in some cases, more and more dark, depending on where you are on the cookies and first and third party data side of the discussion, to be sure. Chip, what I'd love to do is just spend a little bit of time talking about where the industry is headed overall. You're in the guts of it. And by the way, that number you shared with me, I think it was 1,700 different providers in CRM. That really surprises me. It's just insane. And maybe speaks to, at the end of the day, that some of those bigger platforms just aren't solving problems in the way they need to. But I'm going to use those two platforms, which I've mentioned a bunch of times here, to sort of understand where you think the industry is going to, where it's going to head, how it's going to evolve. And I'm going to be super simplistic here and say there are two models. We know there are more. Model number one is that sort of behemoth, everything under a single roof. This is sort of what we ended up with Oracle and SAP ultimately. Different models, Oracle and SAP, in terms of acquisition versus development. But let's call it the Salesforce model, which is like this one-stop shop singular platform. And then I'm going to throw HubSpot in there. And HubSpot, to me, has been very much about hyper-focusing on ease of deployment and on ease of the data architecture in the background, but especially on marketing automation. They've done a really brilliant job of displacing sort of the Marketo functionality as well. But it's sort of a self-contained model. I'm pretty sure, Chip, somebody's acquired something and integrated to HubSpot, but it's a rare thing you hear about that. So if you will, this is the sort of the Apple versus Microsoft paradigm. Do you think that is the way it's going to continue to be? It's sort of this big platform play, Salesforce, or it's sort of the walled, not walled garden, but sort of the we're only going to develop our own code base and we're going to grow slowly through code development as opposed to acquisition. Where do you see these platform plays developing over time and where does Insightly fit into that model?
So if you think about the legacy enterprise-centric offering, it's very much a situation, and the data supports this, by the way, even from SIs that support Oracle and Salesforce and SAP and Microsoft. They'll say that, hey, a software is only a third of your cost minimum, and you're going to have to dedicate two-thirds to installing it, maintaining it, integrating it over time, et cetera, right? And so in many ways, some of those providers have, like in Salesforce's case, that's what they started out being against, and they've become that behemoth themselves. And then I think I talked about it, the more SMB-centric offerings for, like, say, the 1 to 50 people tend to have more limited functionality, more of a templated approach. We are very focused on the mid-market, though legacy, Doug, still a good share of our customers have 50 or fewer employees. The fastest growing segment for us is the 50 to 1,000. So we're firmly in the mid-market is where our focus is for our direct business. And of course, we still have a self-serve product and a free CRM, by the way. But we're focused on robust capabilities for small and growing companies, focused on easy to use and easy to implement, and then the flexible customer data model that allows our customers to do what they want with our system and scale with us over time. Certainly, we have services, Doug, but we want it to be as plug and play as possible.
That data model theme, I think, is really important to understand. And when we come back tomorrow and talk about the ROI of CRM and specifically, what is the ROI of displacing a CRM solution? I think it's an important thing to pick up on because I feel like you are, at the end of the day, when you deploy a CRM solution, you're really buying a data model and you better be comfortable with that data model and you better be okay with how it frees you, but also the limitation it creates. But I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for joining me today, Chip.
Thanks so much, Doug. Appreciate it.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to Chip House from Insightly for joining us in part two of this interview, which we'll publish tomorrow. Chip and I are going to be talking about the ROI of today's CRM. If you can't wait until our next episode and would like to learn more about Chip, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can also contact him on Twitter, where his handle is @CEHOUSE, or visit his company website at insightly.com.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders. If you'd like to get in touch with Doug, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is Market Advocate. Or you could just visit his website, which is chiefoutsiders.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MarTechPod, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is BenJShap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.